First off, good morning, Mr. Kelly. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good so far. You know, for a Wednesday, I think not bad. You know, interesting because we talked about your St. Clair State's attorney, but also a representative for the National District Attorneys Association. You observe the prosecution of terrorists at Guantanamo Bay, executive committee of the Fight Crime, Invest in Kids, and also a chairman of the St. Clair County Child Advocacy Center. So some other items that have kept you busy as well. You know, when I was doing my research this morning, I found an interesting quote from you. In a published report, you were quoted as saying, "We're losing our capacity to govern," and that caught my attention.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. It's true. And I think that's what people are most concerned about right now. It's not even, particularly in southern Illinois, not far-left issues or far-right issues, but folks in the center, people that still love this country, still believe in this country, know that the country is a better place when the government works well, know that the world's a better place when America works well. I think they see the chaos that's going on, that's been going on for too long, and frankly, both parties deserve some criticism for that, and they're deeply, deeply concerned. It's almost a gut sense. It's hard to even, you know, say it's just one particular issue over another, but it's in people's gut, you know, instinct to be very concerned about what's going on in the country and why it appears that we're not able to make democracy work, make it work for the people, particularly people in southern Illinois. And I think this is how people feel, and I think there's a lot of good reasons why they feel that way.
You know, it's interesting because if you look at your statement and then apply it to kind of the dinner table, right, the level of dysfunction, that we can't agree on, you know, paying the bills. That we can't get the bills paid, we can't make ends meet.
Yeah.
That particular aspect, and I'm not talking about whether it's immigration. I'm talking about whether you should build a road, whether you should build a bridge. You know, the real nuts and bolts stuff. We can't even agree on how to keep the lights on.
Yeah, if you look at the engineering grade that Illinois has for our infrastructure, we've got a C-. Now, that's not an F, but it's not an A, and it's not where we should be as a country. It's not where we should be as a region, as part of Illinois, particularly in southern Illinois. Anytime we've had economic progress in this area, it's because we invested hard dollars in infrastructure. You got to have good roads. You got to have good bridges. You got to invest in the type of investments we need now in the 21st century for things like high-speed internet. Those are all hard infrastructure dollars that you got to be able to have in your community in order to be able to have economic progress and put a lot of good people to work. And if we can't agree on something like that, I mean, that shouldn't be controversial.
Right.
That shouldn't be something that divides us, right? Whether you're blue or red or Democrat or Republican, whatever you want to call yourself. Everybody knows we need basically strong infrastructure because that's the backbone of the country. And particularly in places like southern Illinois, where we rely on that to advance economic development. It's very concerning to me that Illinois sends more dollars to the federal government than we get back. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And while there are places around the country that are doing really well, you know, you go to either end of this country, you go to the coast or you go to D.C., you're going to see cranes all over the place. You're going to see construction sites. You're going to see that type of economic activity in those areas. But you're just not seeing it in southern Illinois. And that's why we have, I think we've hollowed out the heart of the country. We've hollowed out the heartland. Places like southern Illinois have been left behind. And I think that's in part why we see a lot of government dysfunction, because there's so much division, because we're not taking care of the parts of the country that need to be taken care of. And that's feeding into people's anxieties and frustrations and their hopelessness.
And, you know, it's interesting when you look at it as an infrastructure and highway issue for the state that has the most highways. And then, of course, you know, your reference to the last time I saw the number, we were either fifth or sixth in contributing to the federal coffers, but around 46 or 48 in seeing that money return to the state. We're basically a donor state,
right,
that is broke. You know, one of the issues here in particular that's going on right now is the issue of tariffs and the ramifications it would have in your district with steel and jobs. So where do you stand on these tariffs and the idea of how to be able to put people in these steel mills back to work in the United States?
Well, I think the steel industry and the aluminum industry also are unique and important part of the American economy, are an important part of our national security apparatus. So it's not just one typical sector of the economy that we're talking about here. It is a special sector of the economy. And I think we have to be able to strengthen that and put those folks back to work, particularly in Granite City, where we have folks that have been laid off for years, and it's gone cold there. You know, it's been a long time since they've had the steel mills run it there. And that's a danger, not just to those folks who need to get their jobs back. Of course, that's important. We need to take care of those folks. But that's a threat to our national security.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Is China going to give us the steel we need for this for our ships? Is China going to give us the aluminum we need for our missiles if we ever get into a hot war with any of our adversaries? No, they're not going to help us out. They're not going to, because we're going to be on the other side. That's a danger to us. And if we let those industries fall apart and we let them lay without activity for a long time, it's very difficult to get them back up and running. And by the time we do, it may be too late, particularly in a very precarious national security environment that we find ourselves in right now.
Right.
So, look, nobody wants a trade war. And I tell you what, the men and women who are steel workers in this country, they're not looking for a trade war. They're not trying to attack any other country or any other workers that are around the world that want to work too. They want to compete fairly. And the problem is these trade deals that both parties have bought into over the past 20, 30 years, they just haven't been fair. And when they enter into these trade deals, if someone cheats, there's no consequence. I mean, it's just kind of one of the basic rules of life. You can't cheat on your homework. You can't cheat on your taxes. You can't cheat on your spouse. There's a consequence to that, and it's very negative. But right now, if you're cheating on the trade rules and you're China and you keep breaking the rules, there's no consequence for you, and that's what makes these guys angry and frustrated. And they're not trying to create some big trade war. That is not what anybody is looking for. They just want to be treated fairly. And I tell you, if they're treated fairly, they're going to be able to compete, and I think they're going to be able to prevail against anybody around the world, because our workers are the best workers in the world.
You know, it's weird because I don't hear many people talk about the national security aspect of this, because it's equally relevant with aluminum and its uses now. I mean, it's just, you know, and some of the minerals that we use to create that are, you know, very rarely mined now in the United States, or mined in Mexico, and they're strategic minerals like fluorspar. There's a big ramification.
That's a real danger for us too. And that's the minerals we have that's in our cell phones and other kinds of communication technology. The things that are in the wires in the GPS systems that are part of our guidance systems in our military equipment, those all rely on certain metals, and we have to have access to those right now. We're reliant on other countries. And again, look, it's a global world. We're all part of a bigger world, and Southern Illinois can benefit from that if we engage it in the right way. But we got to do it fairly, and we got to make sure we're protecting our national security while we do it. That doesn't mean you have a trade war. That just means you make smart decisions about certain parts of your economy that you have to make sure they're strong in order for you to be able to protect your national security. Yeah. That's all. It does not require a sledgehammer. It requires a scalpel and a little brain power to get through it.
Yeah, and we seem to roll over on these items all the time. We're running out of time. Can I keep you for two more minutes?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Because, you know, I've seen a couple of lawsuits come down the pipe. Yesterday, Chicago suing when it comes to opioids. In particular, they were suing three distributors for what they defined as unlawful, unfettered distribution. You've got some grandparents whose daughter had a child, the child born addicted, and they are suing, I believe, 20 companies. The pushback against opioids is on. And what's interesting is reading about you were saying, look, we have these issues when it comes to opioids, but we also have another issue, and that is these type of drugs, including fentanyl, coming across our southern border.
Yes. Yeah, we've got to attack both. And I was the first prosecutor in the state of Illinois to file a lawsuit against the pharmaceutical companies for their role in this opioid crisis. They created it with some bad information that they gave to doctors, I think in many cases deliberately. that pushed this opioids being overprescribed in so many circumstances that created this cycle of addiction we have in the country. And that cycle of addiction was fed, as it got going, was fed by the cartels from Mexico and South America that refined heroin and made it much more pure and potent and more addictive because they saw what was happening with the pharmaceutical industry. They had a ready-made group of customers, and they fed the cycle of addiction. And so, you know, there's a huge part of the problem. It's not just going after the pharmaceutical companies, but securing our airports, securing our seaports, securing our border, stopping the flow of these drugs that are coming in, not just from Mexico and South America, but also from China now through the mail. And we have to invest heavily, I think, in folks that are going to be able to secure those areas, guys that are working for Homeland Security, working for Border Patrol. You have to make the investment in the human manpower to be able to stop the flow. Give law enforcement here locally, give social service providers and healthcare providers and families a chance to get ahead of this. We're still losing this thing. I mean, let's just be candid and honest. We are not winning the crisis here. We are not on the winning side of what's going on with the opioid crisis. And life expectancy in the United States has gone down for the first time because of what the pharmaceutical industry did and because of what's happening now with heroin and fentanyl coming into our country that's feeding that cycle of addiction.
It's interesting because
Brendan,
when you talk about increase and losing the battle, these new numbers for the Centers for Disease Control yesterday, opioid overdoses increased by 30% across the country from July 2016 to September 2017. The Midwest, hardest hit, 70% increase, but you also have Wisconsin and Delaware reported 109 and 105% increases respectively.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, and because I got to let you go, but I want to tell you a quick story. I spoke with a doctor out of state of Illinois. They were talking to a Chinese manufacturer for a machine that made little gel caps, and you could put whatever medicine was inside the gel caps, and it made those gel caps. And when the doctor was on the phone with this, making the order for this machine, they said, how much do you want opioids? And then they said what they would do was inside that machine as the packing material, as many opioids as that doctor wanted would be included in that shipment for that manufacturing machine. And I'll be honest with you, caught me by surprise.
Yeah, and it's happening. If a doctor would do the right thing in that circumstance, at least this doctor would, it sound like, and then obviously not take advantage of what these Chinese manufacturers are trying to do. But there's plenty of drug dealers across this country that you lock one up, and then there's another one that are willing to take that from a Chinese manufacturer and just keep feeding the problem and keep feeding the overdoses and keep feeding the cycle of addiction that is destroying so many families, particularly here in Southern Illinois. And that's a tremendous danger that we've got to quit messing around here. We've got to get serious about this.